The Cellcast is recorded in front of a live streaming audience.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Cellcast. Joining me today is a man who is just not feeling himself today. Said something about hail and Hydra. I don't understand what's going on. Welcome, Jacob.
Yeah, sometimes it's like...
Jeez, dude, don't do that again.
Just okay. Making sure.
Oh my god.
Making certain.
Yeesh. Like, next time, dial down D-Lo just a little bit next time.
I can't help. I love how you think I have control over D-Lo.
Yeah, thanks, D-Lo. Ow! That's just cramp. Ow!
D-Lo can't talk while the intro's quiet.
Apparently.
But she tells me, hush.
Why, thank you.
Didn't know I could hear her without the Pokemon noises, but whatever.
Why, thank you. Ow, that still hurt. Why, thank you. Let me introduce our co-host, the man who just needs to learn how to be teammates with each other, learn to work together. Why, welcome, Drew.
Well, if you would just eat more, I don't have a good here. We'll just move on. Trivia question for this episode. And those who actually listened to the last episode will note that this is a different trivia question than I asked. Because I decided as I was posting it, I didn't like last week's trivia question. This was better. What other film is a part of the same series as Iron Man and Captain America Heroes United? Jacob?
Something about Iron Man and Hulk?
Full name?
Heroes United?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Apparently... Heroes United is a thing.
Yes.
For these two. It's like Hulk versus, which is what Paul J. Powers thought it was.
Huh.
He was wrong.
Yeah, because they
he guessed Planet Hulk.
Huh.
Also wrong.
Yeah, I know they do. There are far better Marvel films that have come out more recently.
Some of them are live action pieces.
No, animated.
I will take your word, because I haven't actually seen a lot of the animated Marvel movies.
I've seen a few of them.
An animated Marvel show that we will probably be covering after we finish with Rapunzel.
Possibly.
But Timothy Ratliff also guessed The Avengers.
Ah.
Also incorrect.
Mm.
And then hang on, there was some guesses on the other thing. Yeah, we have a new group, by the way, and that's, yeah. I'm posting the trivia question there also, which is the Cell Nation. Go look for that group. It is still public, so you don't even have to ask us to join.
Yeah.
But I posted the trivia question over here also, and
scrolls and pretends he's not a scroll.
I'm not a scroll. Okay. We had two comments over here. Francisco Ruiz of the Retro Rewind podcast, Paul was also on that podcast. Anyway, he guessed X2 X-Men United.
Oh, fun.
To which Paul J. Powers then posted United 93 with a picture of a United airplane.
Yeah, ouch, Paul.
Yeah, that's not it either.
Yeah, ow. That's just a little dig in the shoulder there, Paul.
Just
a bit.
But anyway, yeah, all of y'all got it wrong this week.
Womp, womp, womp.
So, I'll be asking another trivia question at the end of this episode, and we'll post that on the Facebook page and group, so keep an eye out for that. In the meantime, Jacob, how are you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. Week's going pretty good. I got an unexpected request yesterday from work, because today, originally, I was supposed to do my normal job, which is sacking.
Uh-huh.
And I was called to the office and be like, hey, Jacob, I'm sorry. That's how normally these conversations start. I'm sorry, but...
I'm sorry, but you will never go out to the gas station ever again.
No! It wasn't that. Apparently, Nina, who's probably one of the sweetest ladies I work with, unless you get her mad, you just really do want to get Nina mad. But she said, hey, you're already coming in at 7. Can you check instead of sack? Because apparently there was a miscommunication on so-and-so who could check. And I was like, okay, sure, no problem. Wasn't bad. I got up at 3. Not bad.
There you go.
Yeah, not bad. So, let's see. The weekend was fairly... The weekend was good. The weekend was good. I got, you know, a little bit of art, a little working out done. I need to work out more. Just saying. I need to.
No idea what you're talking about.
I did a little bit of art, watched a lot of TV. And yeah, talked with my girlfriend. She was coming back from
Wyoming.
Wyoming. Yeah, she was coming back from Wyoming. And yeah. So, yeah, that's basically it. Mm. What about you?
I did a little bit of work for the podcast.
Okay.
And played a lot of Final Fantasy 14 with our good buddy Chase.
Yeah.
We did a lot of that this weekend.
How did that go?
I finally got him past the end of the base game.
Okay.
Now it's just the base game's end game before we move into the next expansion.
So were you playing in the same house or?
No, I played here. He played there.
Okay.
Online.
I gotcha.
Internet's a wonderful thing. Actually, you have to play online anyway. Mm. But I'm probably going to. At some point, we are going to have to get back together at his place because he has the bigger place.
Yeah.
And probably the better internet, if we're being honest. But because I want to be in the room with him. When we play through a certain quest line in Kingdom in Final Fantasy 14.
I gotcha. Now you're just getting everybody to play Kingdom Hearts.
Well, what can you do? But yeah. So Jacob, I do have another question for you.
All right.
What have you been watching?
All right. So after watching the movie of the week we're reviewing, I decided because it was in the suggestion pull-up tab.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, Iron Man, the series, you know, the cartoon series,
the old 90s cartoon.
So I'm sitting there watching this and it's like, wow, this is definitely 90s. Okay. Watch the first episode. So, and then I watched of all movies, I was like, you know what? I have not watched Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace. The Phantom Menace. That's what I meant to say. The Phantom Menace in a very long time. So I was already on Disney Plus, so I queued that up. I'm like, this isn't a bad movie. It's not.
I never said it was. It's just not as good as the rest of it.
I would agree with you.
Admittedly, Star Wars is something I hold to a bit of a high standard.
Right.
And Episode One doesn't quite make it there, but certainly a lot better than a certain other movie that came out recently.
Okay.
Traws.
Traws?
T-R-O-S. The Rise of Skywalker. Like I said, Traws.
Traws. Okay. Gotcha. Either or, I watched that. I watched like most of it. And there again, I am very scatterbrained and it's like, ooh, squirrel kind of moment. So I turned that off. And so we were over at Chase's house to do our Bible study, but instead of doing the Bible study, we did.
There was only me and you, and it was late, and I think we were all tired.
Yeah, that is true. So we watched the Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon?
This is like the third time I think we've watched that there.
Yeah.
We're almost done with the first season.
Yeah. It's interesting. I have more qualms with.
Pronunciations?
Like, no, not that. It'd be like, yes, that
you're, too. You've gotten used to being called a character being called Hephaestus, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, Hephaestus. Hephaestus.
I know Hephaestus is the real name for a mythical god.
Right. But either or. The way they designed one character, I'm like, wait, Hermes is a cowboy?
Dude, I'm still trying to figure out how that little girl is carrying that giant backpack.
True. So true. So we were watching that and it's just more our main character. He is the be like, oh shucks, great guy that all the girls love and the guys hate.
Oh, you know he's gonna be a pain in the neck later on.
Oh, probably.
He's got his own anyway.
Yeah. The guy who gets be like, he gets his butt pulled out of the fire every, you know, every turn, but just by some sheer chance, or, oh, he meets somebody who gives him a really powerful gift just because they like him.
Well, anyway,
anyways, so I started rewatching Tangled for a nice,
the umpteenth time.
Like when you watch a movie for some, like, you know, X number of times, you start kind of critiquing everything about it. I'm like, yeah, like you do. And it's still amazing. Be like, you start realizing this movie is, that was 2010. It's 2022. So 8 years.
Considering a name I've seen in our chat, I'm surprised he hasn't mentioned anything about yet, since we know he hates Disney.
Oh, Francisco.
But anyway.
But yeah, just like you notice that the animation in Tangled is a little dated. It's still good.
Mm-hmm.
It's
dated. Well, I mean, it's going to be affected by the technology of the time.
Exactly.
It's really only, I think, recently where we're starting to see a similarity in animation style. As long as enough money was spent on it.
True.
Where things are all starting to look the same. I have to say that because it's like, considering today's movie.
Yeah, that's true. So
I believe 5 years old, but yet it looks like it's 20 years old.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
And designed to be rendered live on a PlayStation 2.
All right. So I haven't finished Tangled yet, but obviously I've seen the movie a dozen times. And no, I did finish it. Still a great movie. Don't get me wrong. Probably still one of my favorite animated movies of all time. And then as I was getting notes prepared and get ready, because believe me, I got notes done incredibly fast this week. And then I've been watching Ultimate Spider-Man on Disney Plus.
Right.
That's a really good show. Yes, I was very surprised by it.
Am I correct in thinking that's the one where J.K. Simmons plays J. Jonah Jameson?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about that before, but you weren't sure at the time.
Yeah, it was. It's J.K. Simmons. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so that is all I've been watching. How about you?
Whale.
It's a whale of a tale?
Finished Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's, yes. Oh, my gosh.
I know there are some people who have problems with it. I say boo-hoo.
Yeah.
That was actually a fun TV series.
That was.
I know some people still have some continuity issues with it, but it's like, you know.
It's not my Star Wars.
That's not the people I'm talking
about. I know.
I've seen some people who actually had what I think would be considered legitimate problems with it, if it weren't for the fact that I disagreed that was actually what happened.
Yeah.
But I still don't care. It was a fun show.
Yeah. I too. Be like, I recently finished that. That was good.
And
incredibly good story.
I watched the new episode of Ms. Marvel that came out that same day.
How was that? How was it going, by the way?
I don't hate it, but it's gonna have to pick up.
Okay. Slow pace.
Well, see, here's the thing. I loved Moon Knight. Mm. Moon Knight was a fun show. Hawkeye was a great show.
Okay.
Loki. If you can't tell from the people who, those in the video who don't know, or audio listener, you don't know I'm wearing my Gator Loki shirt right now. Mm-hmm. This is glorious purpose. Obviously, I liked that show too.
Apparently.
But those all had a certain level of quality that technically Ms. Marvel has also.
Yeah.
It's just the story is taking its good sweet time and not in the way I'm enjoying as much. It's not a bad show. It's just not as good as I want it to be.
Okay. How many episodes are they?
It's going to be six.
Six. Okay.
And you can tell it's leading into what I think is called the Marvels, which will involve Brie Larson's Captain Marvel, mm-hmm, with this Ms. Marvel,
yeah,
and Trouble from WandaVision. I can't think of her name.
Rambo?
Right, yeah.
The daughter.
The daughter, Rambo. That doesn't sound right either, but I know it is.
The daughter of Rambo.
Not that Rambo. I know it's going to lead into that, but I don't know. I'm not seeing it's. This show hasn't gotten its hooks into me yet.
Gotcha.
I'm still watching it because I've watched anything Marvel at this point just to keep up. But it is there. It is there. I should have watched the last episode of Spy Family, but I haven't gotten to it yet.
Shame, shame.
But I would, I'll, like, you have room to talk. You're still at episode 3.
Exactly.
And you should watch the show. It's very good. But other than that, I have mostly just been playing video games. So I think I did watch a movie the other day. Let me check something right quick. Right quick, if I can find it. I mean, part of the reason I'm low on stuff is because I've been watching, you know, I didn't. I've been playing other video games and doing an interesting working on a project for the show.
Yes.
But, I mean, other than that, I've been playing some Persona 5 Royal. I'm getting fairly far on that.
Yeah.
Played some Final Fantasy 14, as I mentioned earlier.
Uh-huh.
And that's about it.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that's where I'm at. Did you think of anything? Because I know sometimes you do before we head to the next segment.
No, I'm good.
All right, then let's hit the news.
The Cellcast News with your host, Jacob Herron.
Why, thank you, D-Lit. And going into this week's news, the only bit of news I could really find was apparently a movie we just recently reviewed, mm-hmm. The Bad Guys, is coming. We reacted to it. That's right. We haven't fully reviewed, but we did a reaction to it. The special collector's edition of DreamWorks' wickedly fun and popular animated heist movie, The Bad Guys, is now available for digital HD, Ultra HD, mm-hmm. 4K.
Oh, that's Blu-ray, the same thing.
Blu-ray. Yeah, that's what I meant. I got it two mixed up. Either or. Blu-ray and DVD. For Universal Pictures Home Entertainment, the Special Entertainment Showcase, an all-new original short comes full with never-before-seen bonus features, including deleted scenes, exclusive interviews with cast and crew, Mr. Snake's frozen pop recipe, character drawing tutorials, and more.
Okay.
So I think that's all the news I could find, unless you know anything else.
Not that I'm conscious of.
Okay.
So why don't we go ahead and go into the spoiler-free section?
Certified fresh and spoiler-free.
This is an okay movie.
Okay.
We're, of course, talking about Captain America and... No, sorry. Iron Man and Captain America, Heroes United.
Yes.
I'm not going to say don't let your kids watch it because I think it is family friendly.
Oh, it's definitely aimed towards kids.
It is definitely aimed towards kids. I'm not too happy with some animation things. We will talk about that definitely when we get to
dislikes. A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. But it was an okay story.
It was just
very quick.
Yeah.
Somehow. And it was still somehow an hour long.
Yeah.
Still don't understand that.
It's an hour and 30 minutes.
It's an hour and a half? I thought it was only an hour.
No, it's an hour and 30 minutes. The last time I checked.
Then I need to update my score on Backlog Golf.
Well, let me double check that before you do that. Continue.
But, I mean, it's not bad. It's just not great, I guess. Right. I mean, admittedly, I'm going to have a tendency to compare this to What If.
Right.
Which, granted, the animation is of a similar pay scale. But this is, like, so cheaply done.
It is.
Like, I don't know if this is pre-Disney buyout. I don't think it is. Isn't it 2016 when this came out? Was it 2014?
2014.
And yeah. So it's definitely post-Disney buyout.
Okay. And correction. Like, the movie runs an hour and 11 minutes.
Okay. That's why I said it was an hour.
Okay.
But
it's an hour and change.
Yeah. It's okay. It's just not great.
Yeah.
It was a fun couple, fun hour. That's about all I can say about it.
Okay.
That's spoiling the movie itself. Right. So what are your thoughts?
I'll reflect a lot of what you just said. The story is okay. It's very simple. It's mm-hmm. it's nothing really you can grab a hold of. The animation is
a thing.
It's yeah. I wasn't the biggest fan of this movie. It's like it was like there was part of me. Like
I couldn't have told that from when you asked me to make the meme this week.
Uh huh. Like the point where it'd be like, I could be watching Civil War and be having a whole lot more fun than this movie. You know, listen to my dislikes later.
Oh yeah.
But
dislike section may be the longest section of this episode.
Maybe. Is the family friendly? Yes. Like kids will get a kick out of it. I don't think parents will really enjoy it because there again, I'm going to go into spoilers if I keep going. Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of this film. I'm not. Mm-hmm. And I will explain why later.
All right. Well, then let's go ahead and hit the bumpers and we will get to spoiling this thing.
The Cellcast would like to thank the following patrons: Josh Adams, Ashley Cronin Bitter. To get your name on the show plus uncut episodes, early access to the Cellcast plus reviews and special art from Jacob, please donate to us on Patreon.
This podcast is a proud member of Culture Box. Whether you enjoy geeky reviews, comedy, or original fiction, you can open up the Culture Box and find something excellent for your soul. Point your web browser to culturebox.media.
Geek Devotions is a collaboration of devoted geeks that are devoted to letting people know that they are loved. They produce a weekly geek culture-infused devotional, their podcast Com Talk, another podcast where they talk about bad movies called Bottom Shelf, and another podcast where they read books, allegedly. And they are written articles, all designed to encourage and challenge people in the geek community, bridging the gap between their faith and their geekdoms. Find all their content at geekdevotions.com.
This show is a part of Pop Americana. For more great shows like this one, please check the link in the episode description.
Do you like Star Wars? I don't just mean the original trilogy. Along with that, I mean the prequels, the sequels, the anthologies, the animated shows, and of course, who doesn't like Baby Yoda? Well, if you've been in the fandom for any length of time, you know how toxic the fandom can get. And if you'd like to be able to discuss a galaxy far, far away in a much more positive light, might I suggest searching out The Outer Rim, a Facebook group dedicated to all of Star Wars, and check out their YouTube channel, which you can easily find at Pop Americana, which the podcast you're currently listening to is also a part of. To find that and more, check out the link in the description.
The following is a spoiler-filled review for the movie Iron Man and Captain America: Heroes United. Listener discretion is advised. Viewer's discretion advised too. This is not that great a film.
Spoiler alert!
Yeah, this movie was directed by Leo Riley, who also directed a series of episodes of The Fast and the Furious Spy Racers.
Yeah, that was the thing.
I had never heard of this before.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, this makes as much sense as the RoboCop cartoon from the 90s. Or the Terminator. Wasn't there a Terminator cartoon?
No, also? Rambo.
There was a Rambo cartoon.
The Rambo that was Chuck Norris. There was supposed to be an alien one at one point, but it got canceled.
Of course it did, but that's okay. You could still buy the toys.
Exactly.
Because rated R stuff is for kids.
Exactly.
Anyway, this was also written by Henry Gilroy and Brandon Allman. Of course, it's based on Captain America, created by Joe Simon and Jack Kirby, and Iron Man, created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. Getting into the cast, we've got Adrian Pazdar, who played Iron Man / Tony Stark. And do you remember the television show Heroes?
Yes.
Do you remember the character of Nathan Petrelli?
It sounds really familiar, yes.
He died in the first season.
Okay. Spoiler alert.
Not really. That's an old show. No one cares. Okay. But he played that.
Okay.
Roger Craig Smith was the voice of Captain America / Steve Rogers. And he is the current voice of Sonic the Hedgehog in really? The games.
In the game,
everything but the Sonic, the two live action
movies. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's that.
Mm.
Sonic is Captain America. That's interesting to note. But anyway,
kind of want to see what Sonic would look like in a Captain America suit. But anyway, let's move on. I'm not suggesting you draw.
Okay. I'm already doing one thing for the cover.
Yeah. Fred Tatasciore was the voice of Hulk and a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. And of course, he was Lieutenant Shax in Star Trek Lower Decks.
Huh.
You know, the Bajoran security officer who has one of my favorite lines in all of Star Trek. But I will not be quoting it again because I don't have it in front of me and I'll probably get it wrong.
Got it.
David Kaye was the voice of Jarvis and another computer voice. Mm-hmm. And he played Megatron in Beast Wars.
Really?
Yeah.
Or yes.
Yes. He played T-Rex Megatron.
Oh, that is glorious.
But also we've got Clancy Brown as Taskmaster.
Yep.
Who also played Lex Luthor in Superman, the animated series.
Didn't he do something with SpongeBob?
Yes, he was Mr. Krabs in SpongeBob SquarePants.
Ah.
Probably what he's more well known for, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I'm a 90s kid, not a 2000s kid.
Right.
Liam O'Brien was the voice of the Red Skull, and he played another red character in Final Fantasy VII Advent Children, Red 13.
Oh, okay. He played the wolf? Is he a wolf?
Wolf, tiger...
something.
I don't know what he is other than his real name is Nanaki.
The Naki. Mm.
That's all I know.
Okay.
Robin Atkin Downs played Dr. Fump and a computer voice number two.
Doctor. Oh,
one of the two doctors.
Oh.
But apparently his name was Dr. Fump. I don't think they ever said these characters' names, but
no.
This is how it was in the credits of this movie as Dr. Fump.
What if they just call it Dr. 1 and Dr. 2?
That would have made more sense.
It did.
But anyway, he played the character of Angelo in Suicide Squad, the movie.
Oh, okay.
And D. Bradley Baker was the voice of Dr. Kruller and a Hydra Trooper.
Huh.
And he is, of course, every single clone trooper in Star Wars, The Clone Wars, and many other connected animated shows, including all but one character in Star Wars, The Bad Batch.
Really?
Yes. And like a bunch of other things. I think he even played Boba Fett at one point, because of course he's the same character, except not. But anyway, I mentioned to you before we got on that this had probably the highest ratio of Kingdom Hearts characters to people who aren't in Kingdom Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just go through that real quick. D. Bradley Baker, as I mentioned, was Dr. Kruller, and he is Waka in Kingdom Hearts.
Waka Waka.
Robin Atkin Downs, who played Dr. Fump, he is both Luxord and Davy Jones in Kingdom Hearts 3.
Arr.
And I think he talked to himself for a couple scenes in that part of the game because he was playing both characters.
Wow.
Fred Tatasciore, who was Hulk here, played Kevin Flynn and Clue in Kingdom Hearts 3D Dream Drop Distance. Roger Craig Smith, who was Captain America here, played a corporal, CDA agent, and trailer boy. I'm assuming all from the Monsters Incorporated level of Kingdom Hearts 3.
Got it.
And since I mentioned earlier, he was Sonic the Hedgehog. You know, he was also Sonic the Hedgehog in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Got it.
Which is officially a Kingdom Hearts game, except not.
Got it.
And David Kaye was Jarvis, and he was the narrator in the Olympus section of Kingdom Hearts 3. And that's what I've got for Kingdom Hearts Connections. What do we got in info and stuff?
All right, so info and stuff. It has a 5.4 out of 10 on IMDb. You can watch it on Disney Plus if you subscribe to Disney Plus. Please, no hacking.
Where we watched it.
It was production by Marvel Animation. I can't talk.
Distributed.
Thank you. Distributed by Walt Disney Studios Home Entertainment. It was released on July 29th. 2014. The film was released initially on a digital HD on demand and on Disney Movie Anywhere on that same day. It was later released on Blu-ray and DVD. This is a follow-up from Iron Man. It
looked better on DVD than Blu-ray, but that's beside the point.
So true. So true. This is a follow-up movie from Iron Man, Hulk, Heroes United.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I have for an info and stuff.
But you just said one of my trivia things for this, which was this is technically part of a series.
Yeah.
Based on with Iron Man and Hulk, Heroes United.
Which I'm thankful they dropped.
Yeah, I am too. The animation studio who made this for Marvel Animation.
Yeah.
They claimed, I put the word claimed because that was not the word there, but good night. I know I've seen this before.
Oh, okay.
To have invented this new process for this movie. And of course, along with, they use this for Iron Man and Hulk, Heroes United also, that they referred to as 2D rap. That's what they called it.
Okay.
That started with traditional animation, then scanning into the computer to wrap it around a character model to give texture and weight to backgrounds and, I love this line, strongly emphasize facial expressions.
Yeah,
exactly. More on that
later.
To dislikes, but first I need to read the summary for this one.
Ugh.
Red Skull and Taskmaster strategized a plan to be rid of Captain America by stealing the weapons that belonged to Iron Man. After the two heroes' training was complete, the Hydra soldiers infiltrated the helicarrier and headed towards the weapons vault. I didn't realize that was a helicarrier.
Yeah, me either.
During their attack, two of the soldiers went in and escaped with the Stark repulsor cannon. Iron Man flies to reclaim the repulsor cannon while Cap fights with Taskmaster, but to no avail as Taskmaster takes him down and kidnaps him to the base that Red Skull stole Cap's superhuman blood to create an army replicated with the same powers as he has with a machine called the Neurotransducer.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Man has been reported that not like whoever wrote this where I stole it from needs English lessons.
Borrowed.
Yeah, borrowed. Iron Man was reported to not only the hull of the helicarrier is damaged, but his Mark VI armor is taken by Taskmaster during the infiltration. He found their base in an abandoned military bunker in southern Estonia. The serum was fully created, and Red Skull brainwashed Cap, causing him into become. Like I said, this is not English.
This is very poorly written. Sounds like it.
The serum that Red Skull created brainwashed Cap, causing him to become an ally to Hydra and fight against Iron Man, who arrived to rescue him. During the fight, Cap hacks into Iron Man's systems, allowing Taskmaster to gain control of his Mark VI armor. Iron Man gets Cap back to normal and puts a fake fight to make Taskmaster think he is still under Hydra's control. After that, Taskmaster announces plan to Cap about overthrowing Red Skull and to rule the world before being taken over by the two. As they leave, Taskmaster escapes and activates the Mark VI armor, naming himself the Iron Master. That is a dumb name.
Agreed.
Arriving in Antarctica, they went from Estonia to Antarctica.
Yeah.
Two of the Avengers witness. Wait.
There are only two Avengers.
I know.
Until a certain green guy shows up.
Arriving in Antarctica, the Avengers witness a giant rocket containing Cap's blood, enough to turn everyone in the world into his super-powered army and an underground facility where they mass-produce Stark's repulsor cannon and copied Cap's shield from the real one, except it was bigger. They fight off against the remaining Hydra soldiers and shut down production of the facility before they take down Red Skull. The Iron Master arrives and attempts to kill him, but the armor that was actually in Red Skull's control and forced him to kill him, but is quickly beaten. I'm trying to edit this as I say it, but I'm not doing so well. The superhuman Hydra soldiers arrive to defeat the Avengers. Before they can finish them off, though, Hulk arrives to their aid. Iron Man fights against Iron Master and Hulk, and one while capped goes to confront Red Skull and to halt the rocket's launch sequence. Cap succeeds in stopping the rocket by sticking his shield into the fuel tanks, causing the rocket to be destroyed before the launch, and destroying the whole facility in the process. Red Skull, Iron Master, and the remaining Hydra soldiers survive and escape, but are taken into custody by S.H.I.E.L.D. At the helicarrier, Iron Man and Cap in his Iron Patriot armor and Hulk begin training and end up with both of them being beaten by Iron Patriot's heat-seeking missiles. After the two make up, they and Hulk head out to eat.
Pie, apparently.
Yes, pie. Let's see, because pie is good.
Yes, apparently.
I wondered if it was apple pie, but anyway.
Okay, so to paraphrase a fictional pop star.
It just raises too many questions. No, it does. That's not what you were going to say.
No.
I'm quoting somebody else. I'm quoting a DC movie.
Summary, say what?
Next time, I am going to reread these things before I go live. I got that off of Wikipedia.
Okay.
Most of the time, Wikipedia is edited into English, but that I don't think anyone must have looked at, since someone who does not speak English natively must have wrote it back in 2014 because nobody else cared. But anyway, I know you're not a big fan of this movie, but what is your first like?
My first like of this film would be Clancy Brown's performance as Taskmaster.
Okay.
Now, Grant, I'm not a fan of his dialogue, because most of his dialogue is like, huh? What? Because there again, this story is so just, huh? What?
It's very much thing happens and we react.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that leads to another thing that we react to.
Yeah, just his performance of as Taskmaster, I thought it was very well done, because Clancy Brown always does a very good job.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, he's a very good voice actor. And
when he can play both Lex Luthor and Mr. Krabs.
That is true.
That just shows you his range right there.
That is true. That is so true. And just to kind of throw that into the design of Taskmaster's suit, I kind of enjoyed.
Yeah.
I
both his normal suit and the Iron Man variant.
Yeah, a little bit.
I like his regular suit better.
Yeah, I agreed. But I just, the overall Clancy Brown's performance was very good in this film. I can't say much about everything else. So yeah, that's my first like.
My first like is Hulk Ex Machina.
Yes!
Because they had no way of escaping until it's like, you know what? I know this is only called Captain America and Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
But we need Hulk.
Pretty much.
And we don't have a good way to throw him into the story. So we're just going to drop him like a gamma bomb into the story.
Yeah.
And he's just going to be there till the end of the movie.
True.
And we're going to talk about it, but it's just like, nope, this is the only way we're going to end this.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, I'm now actually curious, what happened in Iron Man and Hulk Heroes United? Did Captain America show up as at the last second, because this is probably the only three heroes they actually designed in this system?
System.
I mean, Hulk here does like he does in Avengers.
Yeah.
He smashes, and he does so beautifully.
Yes, agreed.
He's just fun to watch, and especially since just he's fighting
characters.
And it's kind of obvious he's going to show up, because all of Red Skull's army looks like they've had Hulk's blood put in them too.
Yes, and the fact to be like, they kind of... This series of films seems to kind of tie in loosely with the MCU.
But not. I mean, they did use some music from the different Avengers movies.
They did.
So, I mean, there is that at least.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty.
So what's your second like?
Mine would be the exact same thing. Hulk's out of the blue appearance. I'm like, it's like, okay, once we got a picture of the I'm going to call them Hydro Stompers.
Except they weren't Hydro Stompers.
I still want that toy.
But you can't call them Abomination either,
because
that's a different character. And apparently he was in the Hulk Iron Man movie.
Yes, he was. But it's like, once we saw those character designs, I'm like, okay, is Hulk like, gonna show up?
You're gonna have to have Hulk show up if you're gonna have Hulklings running around everywhere.
Pretty much. I was like, okay, here's this big bulky design. And it's like, oh, okay, when's Hulk going to show up? And of course he shows up.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. And like you said, be like, his, when he showed up, be like, the movie actually got fun for a hot minute. I'm like, okay, this is kind of fun. It's a little paint by numbers, but
yeah,
it's like he's just throwing people all over the place. And like, it's, yeah, I'll get into a part of that I don't like later on. But when it comes to just the pure fun of the scene itself, where Hulk is throwing around these abomination-like,
whatever they are, I'm calling them Hulklings because that's Hulklings. The only thing I can think of. Even though they're supposed to
Hydralings.
Even though they're supposed to be actually based off Captain America's blood.
Yeah, and they have a Tony Stark's
tech
infused to their arm.
Yeah. It's like, boy, I really do feel sorry for these because you know they were all mind controlled to do this.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah.
But overall, his sudden appearance was kind of like, oh, okay, here's the Hulk. Here's how our characters get out of this jam. But just when he shows up and starts thrashing these characters around, I thought that was very fun.
I agree.
What is your number, Dulce?
My second is a lot of these fight scenes are actually pretty well choreographed for what the limitations that this animation style has.
Right.
And they're shot very well. I mean, admittedly, the minute that you see Cap get captured, I'm thinking, okay, when did this movie come out? How far away are we from the controversial moment in the comics where we saw Captain America say, "Hail Hydra"?
Yeah.
I bet you this is like super, super close.
Yeah.
And that's what they were banking on because, I mean, even Endgame used that Hail Hydra thing
it did.
Cap said as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm betting it was super close, or definitely it happened after that. So it's I knew that fight between him and Iron Man was going to happen, and it was going to be a lot more crazier than their training session was. And I'm still disappointed that it ended as fast as it did.
Yeah.
Especially when they were fighting over hydrochloric acid or whatever. Was that what it was?
It was hydrochloric acid.
Yeah. And so, and the thing is, Iron Man falls in there. I'm thinking, okay, he's acting and he's acting poorly, and this is intentionally poor acting.
Mm-hmm.
But he just mentioned earlier, it's like, I wouldn't want to take a dip in there, sir. I wasn't planning to. I'm thinking, and yet you just went in.
Yeah.
And you're going to come out fine.
Yeah.
Because you had a shield?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I just remember he's like, he fell into the green goop because honestly, you could have called it anything besides hydrochloric acid. And I believed it.
Right.
Because I didn't know what the stuff was.
Right.
You could have called it gamma radiated booze for all I know. But, it's a Disney movie, so it's green. Yeah. It's obviously bad.
Of course.
But anyway, it was, like I said, it was okay.
Yeah.
The most of the fight scenes were fun to watch, and guarantee you, if I was 7 years old, that would have been what I was watching for. So yeah, fight scenes were fun.
I gotcha.
What's your
third like? My third like would be,
you don't have one, do
you? I'm going to say it. The credits. When the credits roll, I know this is bad. I know this is bad, people. But when the credits rolled, I was like, okay, it's over.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. This is finally over.
I did actually like how they showed the characters in that.
Yeah, I did. I mean,
they used that animation earlier on when Cap's getting brainwashed, and I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. So yeah, like the end credits be like, was done very well, kind of reminiscent of what the MCU was doing at the time.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that, but I was really glad when the end rolls credited. What is your third like?
I like that the Red Skull is actually pure evil in this.
Yeah, agreed.
He's the only Marvel character I think you can actually get away with that with. But I mean, you don't like Taskmaster either, because he's obviously just being a mercenary,
right?
Being very selfish. But I mean, he is still very. He's. You get the feeling, at least with Taskmaster, if somebody paid him better, like if Tony Stark says, "Hey, I'll pay you like twice what Red Skull's paying if you'll just fight Red Skull," he'd do it.
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
He is a mercenary after all.
But he can't do that because Red Skull technically mind controlled him too.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly. I have some issues with that, but not enough to go into dislikes, ironically.
Right.
But the Red Skull, you know, just like, I'm going to take over the world and I'm going to shoot this rocket into the sky. When it explodes, it's going to somehow rain down your super soldier serum and the world will become my devoted
minions.
But
that's not how blood works.
Maybe that's how his serum works. I can let that go because this is obviously you're not supposed to think about it that hard.
Yeah.
But I will think about probably too hard. He's in South America. He's in Antarctica.
Yeah.
Not the A. They don't say which part of Antarctica.
No.
Granted. But do you know what's far away from Antarctica?
What would that be?
75% of the world's population.
Estimated. So we're estimating this thing is being shot from Antarctica, and it's supposed to
assume north. Well, one assumes
they're
on the South Pole,
right?
I assume it's the South Pole because this is that kind of corny movie. It probably is directly the South Pole,
probably,
and he's going to fire it towards the northern hemisphere. We assume. I'm thinking, okay, Tony Stark has computer automated systems all over the flipping world. You don't think he or S.H.I.E.L.D. Since S.H.I.E.L.D.'s obviously going to know this, since they called in Hulk, they're not going to find a way to shoot that thing down before it even gets to Argentina?
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry, that is a problem. And right. I'm not going to get into this right. dislikes, but it's like, this is Snidely Whiplash levels of evil.
Yeah.
And to some degree, I like that.
Okay. Understandable.
Because it's just like fun. It's like, okay, you're evil for evil's sake.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
You'll never claim to be evil because this is not quite that show. But you are essentially evil for evil's sake. And that's fun for a villain.
Okay.
We don't get that enough, in my opinion, because we've become too overly, our culture has been too overly obsessed with humanizing all our villains to the point where they all think they're good guys in their own mind. And that gets boring after a while.
Agreed. It is very refreshing to see a villain be a villain.
Right. And that's who Red Skull is. I mean, Red Skull is the only guy who could piss off the Joker.
That is true.
Because that happened.
Yeah.
In one of the few Marvel times that Marvel and DC did a crossover, like before they got really pissy about their movie franchises.
Right.
And there's this part where the Joker and Red Skull are working together to, you know, take over everything until the Joker realizes that Red Skull is an actual Nazi. And he says, I may be a madman, but I'm an American madman. Stand back, guys. I'll take care of this. And he punches Red Skull in the face. That is who Red Skull is, and that is who this Red Skull is, and I absolutely love it.
He's the corny villain
for a show,
but just
for a movie this underbaked.
He
was the perfect villain for it.
Oh, this movie is so underbaked. Be like you bite into it. Be like the dough is still doughy.
There are still frozen bits in the
exactly.
This is not just undercooked. This is Hot Pockets that didn't cook in the microwave very well.
Or more like they got...
There's parts in there that are really hot that will burn your tongue and go, ooh, I don't want to eat that. And then the other parts you'll break your teeth on trying to bite into it because it's still frozen.
Yeah.
That is what this is.
That's exactly what this
is. The Hot Pocket of movies.
Oh my gosh. Good analogy. Very good.
But anyway, since we're already talking about our dislikes, what's your first dislike? I suspect... I will be, it's the same as my first dislike.
Oh my gosh, the animation.
Yes!
Oh my, okay, so here's my analogy. So last week we reviewed Wonder Park.
Yes.
Wonder Park was
a surprisingly well animated film.
Is a beautifully animated movie. This movie is not.
No.
This movie is the amount of technology, like you described, be like, it looks like you described earlier, was a PS2 level cutscenes.
Yes.
And
like, okay.
Go ahead.
I am getting ready to go through Kingdom Hearts for the podcast. I have already mentioned this, I think, yes, on the thing.
You have.
But one of the things I know is coming up when I do the original Kingdom Hearts,
yeah,
is a certain scene that takes place in the Tarzan level.
Yeah.
Now, all of the animation on the human, more humanoid characters has this issue where in order to save on the animation,
mm-hmm,
the mouths are not,
oh gosh,
actually no, existent on the models.
Right.
The animation of the mouths by changing out the textures on the model.
Yeah.
You don't have this problem with things like Goofy or Donald because they have large mouths,
mm-hmm,
or many of the other Disney specific characters, but and on Sora, it's fine.
Yeah.
On the Final Fantasy characters, for the most part, it's fine.
Yeah. And also you're dealing with the dub.
Then you've got Clayton.
Oh.
Clayton is by far the worst, and has a shot where in order to make him look menacing, as he's like, I'm going to hunt the gorillas. Because he's kind of a Snidely Whiplash villain,
yes, too.
Yeah. They do this big zoom in on his,
oh gosh,
mouth, kind of to the side where you can't see his eyes, and he's doing this kind of evil Snidely Whiplash smile, and you're looking at it, and that the animation is just a touch off of the English dub, and that's the entire animation style of this stupid film. It's like the English is not matched. English dub, which is the original dub for this film, is not matching up with the PS2 level texture editing. How do you do that in the 2014? The year of our Lord 2014. How do you do that?
Amen,
and brother. You have the gall to say you invented this when I saw it 15 years earlier on a video game.
Oh my gosh. Bravo, brother. Bravo. Oh my gosh. Like, go ahead.
I saw it 5 seconds in. We're watching this thing, and of course, the first character you see this on is Red Skull.
Yeah.
Here's the problem.
Oh my
Red
gosh.
Red Skull. If you started this with Cap,
yeah,
I may have been a little more forgiving. It does look better on everybody but Red Skull.
Okay.
But because Red Skull has those deep skull, his skin is sunken in to make his head look like a skull. It looks 5 times worse on him
than it looks
on anybody else.
Oh my gosh. So yes, the animation in this movie is horrendous. It's like you just said. Like it's like they forgot to be like, this was an American production.
And this was actually supposed to look good.
It's supposed to look good. It doesn't. It looks terrible.
And the thing is, it's mostly in the mouth movements,
and the facial expressions.
The fighting animation is actually pretty good, but that's because it's all model work and not this stupid 2D rap crap. Because the 2D rap looks good on, you know, everything else because it doesn't have to move.
Okay, that makes
as
sense.
As much as a mouth has to move.
Ooh. Yes, exactly.
Good night.
Oh my gosh, that was terrible. It's like, oh my gosh, be like, how can you, it's like, I understand where they wanted to use a different technology
to try and make the production of this cheaper.
Obviously.
I'm thinking, just use 2D animation.
That's all you need to do.
Or do full 3D. You made this process too complicated for what it actually looks like, and then didn't do it good.
Exactly. This was... Yeah, because the animation in this movie is... There's some good animation here and there, but overall...
It ain't in the acting.
It's not in the acting. No, absolutely just terrible. So, yeah, the animation movie is just abysmal. That's my first dislike. Did you already go through your first one?
That is my first one.
Okay, so go
ahead. We bounced off it. If you're done, move to the second dislike.
Going to second move. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so back in the early 30s, early 20s, when Walt Disney was doing experimental when it comes to how to draw a real person.
Mm-hmm.
So they did this test. I can't remember. It's a short, but all of the characters are very rubbery.
Yeah.
Until they realize, be like, oh, we need to do rotoscoping. The rotoscoping to get more like a fluid motion through our characters.
Well, I mean, the rubber hose style was a thing for a long time.
That is true. To
move away from it for things like Snow White.
And exactly. Dwarves, yeah, that's what
they needed to be more realistically animated.
Yes. And to. Because I know someone's going to say it is, oh, Disney just rotoscopes everything. No, they don't.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. Go look.
Half the time, they're not even actually rotoscoping. They're just using reference footage.
Yeah, exactly.
To help make it faster for them to actually animate it instead of, you know, having to think, well, how does this look? Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you go ahead and have somebody act out the scenes and then you draw what you see.
Mm hmm.
And then you copy that when you're in the 80s and you're trying to make Robin Hood.
Yeah, pretty much. So my point taken.
Sorry.
This movie, like whenever you have character movement, it looks rubbery. Like all of it looks rubbery. Like literally you see a character punch and it literally just looks like it's just wobbling the entire time. Mm-hmm. Like the framework in this thing is not done correctly. Be like, we're talking 2014. We're talking Tangle's already been out for at least 4 years.
Well, I mean, it would be one thing if they were actually trying to do a lot of squash and stretch because of a
yeah.
cartoony look.
Right.
But this is not cartoony. I mean,
no.
You should be as much as Marvel should have been looking at how DC was animating their stuff and try to match yes. that style with their looks.
Yes.
That's just what they should have been doing.
Yeah.
And that's not what they did.
Yeah.
Now, granted, some of the newer DC stuff looks like they aren't animating it at all, but
nuance.
Anyway.
Yeah, just it. To me, it's like, okay, they went back to the drawing board all the way back to 1930s, 1920s. And so like, oh yeah, this rubbery look looks great. Let's just go with that.
What if it's not a cartoon?
Yeah.
Not if it's not a comedic thing that's supposed to look like something from the 30s.
Yeah, because literally, if you're watching the video, so I'm going to use the illustration. So I'm going to throw...
And it's not as exaggerated as
no, it's not. Actual
rubber hose animation.
No, it's not.
That's different.
That's different.
This is like, no, you could... The model work on this is atrocious.
It is atrocious. So the idea would be like, for our viewing audience, and I'll try to describe it as our audience, our audio audience as well. So if I threw a punch, say I'm throwing a punch at Drew, be like, naturally, you're going to have that natural flow of that punch.
Yeah, and there
covers through.
And there should be at least some deformation of the face, but not a whole lot.
Yeah, so in this film, otherwise, be like, it's literally the punch. It literally, there's, be like, you have like separate frames for every single move. Like this movie just kind of takes all the cheat modes they can to get through a punch.
Okay,
so and it's so abysmal. Let me finish.
Go ahead. I think I know what the issue here is.
Okay.
We have seen stuff that's been animated on ones where yeah. they have animated every frame.
Yes.
We've seen stuff that's animated on twos where in order to save time, they animated every other frame.
Yeah.
I think this was animated on fours.
Yeah. That's
where they did every fourth frame.
Because that's what it looks like.
Which makes it on par with the animation in Homestar Runner, which is a flash cartoon on the internet for free.
That's what it looks like. It looks like
it's that cheaply done.
Yeah.
Except Homestar Runner was funny.
Hmm.
But it was supposed to be that way. Anyway.
But it's like that's a good observation. It looks like they animated this thing on four, so it literally looks like punch, punch. You know, you've already gone through the punch.
Yeah.
And it just looks a bit, and they look like they do a really bad transitional scene between each frame, and it looks like it's rubbery. It looks like every single like physical move these characters make, unless it's like really quick, it just looks bad. It looks abysmal. And I'm like, Marvel, what are you doing? You have been purchased by
Disney at this point. And the thing is, the TV shows they were doing on Disney XD.
Yeah, we're 10 times better. 10 times
better than this.
Yes.
You talked about watching Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That was the same time period.
Yeah.
If not the Thor.
Right. It's just like, good night, because you're exactly right. After watching Ultimate Spider-Man, I'm like, wow, the animation is really well done in this. I'm like, Marvel, what are you doing?
They were trying to make a cheap 3D movie to make a bit of money.
And they failed miserably.
Except we're talking about it.
And it's just,
but anyway.
Bleh. So, yeah, I'm done ranting about this.
Yeah.
Anyways, what is your second dislike?
Iron Man's helicarrier looks stupid.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I'm sorry, but if this is supposed to be vaguely connected to the MCU,
yeah,
like they want you to think it is.
Right.
How about you actually base your helicarrier off the helicarrier in the movie instead of drawing a spaceship and calling it a helicarrier?
Yeah, because we actually do see a helicarrier later on in the show. But it doesn't look like
Helicarrier. It doesn't look like Iron Man's helicarrier. Iron Man's helicarrier looks like it came right out of some cruddy little 60s sci-fi animated thing.
And just reanimated things.
It looks dumb.
It does.
I remember looking at it and thinking, did my streaming quality go down? Am I having to buffer? That's how bad it looked. And it was purple and green.
Purple and another kind of darker hue.
It was dumb.
It was dumb. It was
so dumb. It's not even, it would not even make a good toy.
No.
And that's the thing. You assume cartoons of this caliber are made to sell toys.
You think
this would be a bad toy?
It would be.
No kid would want this toy because they want the helicarrier they saw in the MCU.
Oh my gosh.
Especially since you recreated that helicarrier in Ultimate Spider-Man.
You did.
And other things, because that's just the modern look for a helicarrier.
Uh-huh.
Do that. Heck, Lego Star Wars. Ooh. Sorry, not Lego Star Wars. Lego Marvel had the MCU helicarrier, and you couldn't even make a this doesn't even look as good as that does. And that thing had Lego studs all over it. That thing looked like it had warts all over it because of how it was, had to be designed for that game. And you couldn't even make it look as good as that.
Oh my gosh.
That thing could not have been designed for this production. That had to have been something they designed, an asset they designed for another project.
Yeah.
And reused it because as a filler, and they forgot to change it. Especially since the interior architecture of that thing does not match the exterior architecture of the thing.
That is so true. Oh my gosh. Breathe, brother. Breathe. What is
your third dislike?
My third dislike. Oh my gosh. Animation in this movie is abysmal. I'm just going to repeat that again.
We know this, but yeah, what specifically?
Oh my gosh. Like the.
Is it the fact that all the backgrounds are blurred?
Partially, yes.
Is it the fact that you can tell all the Hulklings are copy and pasted?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
With no variation between the two, and half the time when they're animated, they are in sync with each other.
That is true. That is so true.
I'm sorry. This is your dislike.
Yes, it is my dislike.
I'm just guessing.
You're partially right. So I'm talking about environmental. Yes. So you have all of these enormous spaces, like all the characters are in, like enormous environments. Like, yes, they have boxes in them, but there's no people anywhere. It's literally an empty space. It's like you built an entire world and there's nobody in it except for Iron Man, Captain America, Red Skull, and his cronies. And oh yeah,
here's a Hulk. Question. The helicarrier I just got done complaining about.
Yeah.
Was there anybody else on that besides Cap and
Iron Man? No, there wasn't. There wasn't. That's what threw me off. I was like, wait, where are the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents?
Until the skull, the Hydra goons got there?
Yeah.
It's the only time we see anybody on there besides, because I was like, man, this is one heck of an autopilot for a ship the size of a helicarrier.
Allegedly. That is not a helicarrier at all. It's just like, there's so much vast space in like every shot, like the opening shot where Cap and Iron Man are duking it out.
Which, that's fine. That was actually a good concept for a shot.
It was.
The scene.
But it's almost like they reuse that.
It's with each other. But yeah.
It's just like every environment is so huge. Be like, yeah, obviously you want a large environment, but there's nothing in these environments. Like, be like, yeah, you have like background stuff that's a little blurry, like you said before, is blurry.
A little blurry? Half the time you can't even tell what you're looking at.
That is true. That is true. Thank you. Thank you for the observation. It's just like, oh my gosh, like everything is like, it's like, put a character in the background. He doesn't have to move, or just simple animation, something. Do something with the background. It's just like, don't get me started with special effects in this thing. Oh my gosh. I'm going to be sick from animation sickness. D-Lick, give me a bag.
She said here, but don't get it on the carpet.
Anyway.
Anyways. Thanks, D-Lit.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, that is my rant is over.
Okay, so here's my third dislike. Mm-hmm. Where were Cap and Iron Man going at the beginning of this film? What was the point of them being on the helicarrier in the first place?
I don't remember.
That's because they didn't say. As far as we know, the entire reason they were on the helicarrier was to train.
Yeah.
You could have trained anywhere. Why are you on the helicarrier unless you're going somewhere? Because that's not a helicarrier on the ground, not going anywhere. It's a helicarrier in the air that has to be going somewhere.
True.
Is it just patrolling? And if it's just patrolling, why are there only two Avengers on this thing and nobody else? Especially since they leave it flying by itself for 75% of the movie, while they're on opposite sides of the world from it. Especially if they went to Antarctica. Jeez. In another plane.
Oh my gosh, that is so true. Oh my gosh.
It would have made more sense if there was at least somebody on there, like knock off Sam Jackson, or heck, there's a good excuse for you to bring in Clark Gregg to be Agent Coulson, since they don't like killing him anymore. He'd bring him back and everything but the MCU. But anyway, I would just like to know logically what the crud they were doing at the beginning of this film when they were fighting each other. Obviously they were training, but where were they going while they were training?
Mm-hmm. It's just, it's the story itself. Be like, there's some decent points here and there where the characters have to learn to work together, yeah. But it's such a just bland, boring story.
Especially when Cap decides, okay, I'll be more spontaneous like Iron Man.
Yeah.
That is the worst spontaneous thing you could do, because Iron Man would not have done that in that instance. And that's why you got mine brainwashed.
Mm-hmm. And don't get me started with, you know, Cap be like, it's like, oh, this was my plan the entire time to get brainwashed. It's like, oh, yeah, I knew the camera is here. I'm going to wink to the camera, which I know Tony's going to be watching. I'm like, oh, my God.
Which he didn't do in the original scene.
No, he didn't. It's like, oh my gosh.
There were so many times where it's like, oh, or you could tell it's like we wrote the scene and then we wrote another scene later and decided, okay, we need to explain why we're in this next scene because we didn't set up why we went to this next scene in the last scene.
Yeah.
Coherency. What are you? You're as bad as the writing of the summary.
Anyway. Oh my gosh. So that was your third?
That was my third.
All right.
Which brings us to the end. We need to rate this movie. What are you rating it?
I am rating this movie a 3.
Ooh.
Hardcore. Did not like this movie. This was a bad movie.
I'm giving it a 4.
Oh, okay. You're actually giving it a, you're giving it a little more grace than I did.
A little bit of grace because I could at least have fun with this film.
I would agree with you.
In the same way I have fun watching Mystery Science Theater 3000 films.
Oh, jeez.
Riff Tracks. Because
wow.
Here's the thing. I have a rule when it comes to bad movies, which I suspect I will be repeating a lot come September. If you can't be good, be interesting.
Yeah.
This movie is at least interesting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fun you can have with this movie. This is not bland at all.
Right.
It's a very spicy movie. The problem is the spice doesn't do anything. There's no meat to this.
Yeah,
film.
Agreed.
And,
agreed.
And there's a lot like I said earlier, this is a Hot Pocket, but this is a Hot Pocket that someone sprinkled Cajun seasoning on.
Yeah. I would agree. Yeah.
Perhaps Cajun curl. But anyway. You don't even know what that is.
No, I don't. Either.
Except you've had it.
Really?
I've used it in cheeseburger casserole.
Really? Okay. Yes.
But anyway.
Anyways.
That brings us to the end of this film.
Yes. Thank the Lord.
Which means we need to talk about another Marvel film, but not Marvel, another Disney film.
Disney film.
That is probably better.
I don't know. What I keep hearing is better.
I heard mixed things. But
agreed.
I've heard mixed things of every Pixar movie in the past 5 years.
True.
So, yeah, we are doing Turning Red next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I am now looking up trivia to ask a trivia question. If I can type. Table. I really should have this done ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I forget it every week.
It happens. So what did you guys think about the movie? Comment down below if you're watching it live. Are you listening to it? Comment down below where you're streaming at. And let us know what you thought of this movie.
All right. Our trivia question for the next movie, Turning Red, is this is the first Pixar movie where an on-screen character does what?
Oh, okay.
And no, it's not turn into a red panda.
Well, darn. Those
even though that is technically true. But anyway, we need to jump into some Rapunzel's Tangled Adventure.
And the Masters of the Universe.
Thundercats are on the move. Thundercats are loose. DuckTales, woo! Dark Wizard!
Let's get dangerous.
The Dinky, the Dinky, and the Brain, 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 Brain.
First episode we are looking at today is The Brothers Hook.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by Tom Caulfield and written by Ricky Roxburgh, with a guest cast of Brad Garrett. As Hook Hand.
Yes.
Reprising his role from Tangled.
Mm-hmm.
And Bradley Whitford as King Trevor, who is reprising his role from season one.
Yes.
In this episode, Rapunzel takes everyone to see Hook Hand in concert. However, this brings back bad memories for Hookfoot, as he is always overshadowed and looked down on by his elder brother. Hook Hand is revealed to be employed by the self-centered King Trevor, who wants Hook Hand to perform at the wedding ceremony between the Seal of Equus and the Seal of Approval. Say it that way. Hookfoot finally fulfills his childhood dream of dancing by humiliating King Trevor in a dance-off, which he wins as the female seal, the Seal of Approval, is the judge. This finally brings Hookhand to accept his younger brother's dreams and allows him to accompany him on the road.
On the road again.
This makes Hookhand's first and only appearance in the series. Along with his brother, Hookfoot leaves the group after this episode. This episode marks the second appearance of King Trevor after In Like Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
Inside Hookhand's caravan, we see Gunther's skull flower arrangement and his sad puppy painting from the I Have a Dream scene
from
Tangled. Hook Hand's outfit and his golden hook are the same that he wears in Tangled Ever After.
Okay, that's right.
And this is the final appearance of Hookfoot in the entire series.
Wow.
So, what is your thoughts on this episode?
This episode seems more like a filler, because you have the what happened at the end of Rapunzel and the Great Tree.
Mm-hmm.
This seems like almost like a filler in between it. But like, it's a good episode. Don't get me wrong. It's just more like, okay, where are we now?
I would not say that it is filler, because filler implies that it's not doing anything for story or characters.
Okay.
Now, granted, there's not a lot of story going on here, except the caravan's still missing.
Yeah.
But we do, this being the final appearance of Hook Hand, this actually finishes his story.
You mean Hookfoot?
Hookfoot, sorry. It finishes his story from when he first was introduced in season one.
True.
So it is, I would not consider it filler, because this is a proper send-off episode.
I would agree with you there.
Which is far better than a lot of the season one characters got.
Okay, so.
Poor Freeborg.
Oh, Freeborg. Oh my gosh. She's just the running joke.
She'll be back.
Oh yeah, she's back.
I'm sure she's back.
But what I'm referring to, it seems like a filler, because we don't get a resolution until the next episode.
Right.
So it's more of a,
you could say this about a lot of season two episodes so far.
That is true. But it doesn't immediately pick up where our story.
Right.
So it kind of picks up like somewhere else. And then we go back to, you know, our main story. So in a way, it's kind of a side story. It's kind of a filler, but not really.
It's a side story, but you can't really put this episode before or after where it's sitting, because if you put it after, you got the problem that Hookfoot's not in any episode after this.
And true.
If you put it before, you already got Cassandra in her armor.
Yeah.
Which I feel sorry for Cassandra having to run across the entire countryside in that big thing of armor.
Right.
But
thanks, Rapunzel.
But yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, because it's like, it doesn't, after we just got through with the Great Tree.
Mm-hmm.
And Cassandra is still having to deal with her feelings from there. They don't get resolved till the next episode. And probably not completely, if what I understand is going to happen is going to happen.
Right.
I don't know if I can't consider it filler, because it's literally like, for some reason they decided after this point, maybe it's because the actor, for whatever reason, decided he didn't want to be on the show anymore, or was too busy or something.
Maybe.
They wrote him a actual send-off episode, and they placed it. And it just so happens that where they placed it had to go between these two episodes.
Yeah.
I wish I'd have thought to look at the release order or the release dates for these, because I suspect the episodes the Rapunzel and the Great Tree was kind of a season 2.5 premiere kind of a thing. Like, maybe there was a break between,
possibly
like a fall set of episodes in the spring, and it came back with Rapunzel and the Great Tree.
Yeah.
And then this was the first normal episode.
Yeah.
And then they continued on with the next one. And in the intervening time, they gave Hookfoot a way to get out.
Yeah.
Because maybe the actor just didn't want to do it anymore, but they couldn't put it in before Rapunzel and the Great Tree.
Right. Or it could have just been like, okay, this is the character's planned exit, so we're just going to place it here.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm suspecting it's like they might have been stuck between a rock and a hard place, storyline-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the next episode was originally intended, when they were writing out the episodes, to come immediately after that. Or it could be like, you know, sometimes they'll actually put two or three episodes between a big episode like that.
Rapunzel
and the
Great
Tree. And
agreed.
Resolving people's actions between it.
Right.
And maybe this time they only was able to get the one in because they had to give, since this is a road trip thing, you can't just have one of the major characters on the road trip just disappear.
That's true. You got to explain it.
Yeah, give an explanation, and they actually give a whole episode.
They do.
Explaining and really finishing off
a
character that had almost no character before this, other than he's Hook Hand without being, but we couldn't have Hook Hand, so we had to come up with a replacement.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of who he is supposed to be. That's what's going what happened with that.
I agree with you. Be like,
you couldn't get Brad Garrett to reprise his role.
True.
Until, like, except for this one episode.
Right. You have
another time he showed up, but anyway.
True. So you have the episode, you have it where Hookfoot be like, he's had, you know, some episodes here and there, and I think this is a really good send off for his character, because we learn a lot more about him.
We actually learn about his character.
Yeah.
Other than he's just a grunt.
Yeah. That has feelings.
But all the barbarians have feelings. So.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's a good send off to this character. It's sad we don't see this character anymore, because I kept thinking back of my mind, like watching the entire series, I was like, where's Hookfoot?
He left in this episode and apparently had no reason to come back during season 3.
Yeah.
Even for a cameo appearance.
Yeah, which would have been either way.
And he can't show up in Ever After, because that was made before all this.
True.
Even though it takes place after all this.
True. That's going to be interesting when we get done with season, when we get done with the series proper, and then go into happily ever after.
Ever After is going to have to come after. On, because we actually talked. No, we changed our minds on that.
Yeah, we did.
Never mind. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, it's a good episode. It's very much about, like, mending old wounds and getting past the problems in which, maybe you had an older brother who just, you know, was a relentless somebody, like, because you had a talent that was different or something like that. And I like it that Hook Hand kind of he warms up, his heart to soften a little bit to it's like, hey, my little brother, would be like, yeah, it's like, let's give him a chance. Let's not, you know, just downplay him the entire time. But I enjoyed it. It's sad that it's the character's last episode, but I think it went off in a fairly good, you know, point.
All right. Let's go to the next one.
Yeah.
Rapunzel Day One.
I like this episode.
This was written by Steven Sandoval. Directed by Steven Sandoval and written by Leanna Dindal. Guest cast for this episode. There is no guest cast.
No.
This is the first episode we've had in which no guest characters show up.
Mm-hmm.
It is literally our main cast, and that's it. And for the most part, it's really just Raps and Cassandra, except for a little bit of the rest of the crew other than that. But anyway, Rapunzel and Cassandra come across an abandoned magic stall while searching for parts of their destroyed caravan. The stall contains a wand of forgetting. Cassandra impulsively wishes that Rapunzel would just forget about everything when she was tired of her trying to patch things up between them, which results in Rapunzel regressing to when she was still in her tower with Mother Gothel. The German version of the title in English translates to "Everything starts at the beginning."
Mm.
There are a few sequences that reference scenes from Rapunzel, sorry, from Tangled, including Rapunzel has Cassandra tied up in her hair, just like she did when she first met Eugene.
Exactly.
Rapunzel hits herself with her frying pan.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling grass beneath her feet for the first time again. Screaming when she sees a rabbit, but apparently a scream of delight rather than fear this time.
Mm-hmm.
Swinging around a tree with her from her hair.
Mm-hmm.
Rapunzel says that her mother always makes soup for her birthday.
Uh-huh.
Rapunzel mentions everything Mother Gothel told her to be careful of, including the plague. Rapunzel says, "Who are you and how did I get here?" to Cassandra, referencing her line, "Who are you and how did you find me?" when she first met Eugene.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first continuation of the aftermath of Rapunzel and the Great Tree. Cassandra struggles with the injury of her right arm. The caravan finally shows back up in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of 5 episodes to have Rapunzel's name in the title. The other 4 being Rapunzel's Enemy, Rapunzel and the Great Tree, Rapunzeltopia, and Rapunzel's Return.
Yeah.
Under Raps technically has her name as well, but Raps is just a pet name.
Yes.
And of course, Rapunzel's Tower is mentioned along with Mother Gothel. Gothel is mentioned as just Mother by Rapunzel.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on this extremely fun episode?
It is a fun episode. It is very much. I do love it that it is a direct correlation to what happened with Rapunzel and the Great Tree. Mm-hmm. And it's just like you see Cassandra like literally struggling with be like, I can't use my dominant arm right now because it's burned.
Yeah.
And it's just like the idea of like you have a main character or a secondary. She's a main character in this show. So on this season. Mm-hmm. And it's just be like, it's, you see this character struggle who is now very hardened, a very hardened character, you know, inward and outwardly, like you said the last time.
Yeah.
On a Rapunzel in the Great Tree. But like, it's just this really great where Rapunzel being Rapunzel, it's like, I've got to make this work. I've got to somehow get Cassandra to talk to me. And this, the hijinks ensues that they find this wand and just like out of frustration, completely wipes out Rapunzel's memory.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. And the point where everybody meets up together and Cassandra explains the situation and that Eugene, being Eugene, says, oh, this is Rapunzel during the tower. There's nothing wrong. It'd be like, oh, yeah, this is going to be easy. She's just a dandelion or something like that. I'm like,
no.
Are you kidding me?
You were not there when she was scared of Eugene.
Sorry, remember,
at the time, Flynn
Rider. And remember, bro, she knocked you out twice.
Yeah.
So it's the hijinks ensues of where...
Which I do have to wonder if that made Cassandra reevaluate Eugene, that even through all the stuff that he had to have gone through after when he accidentally found Rapunzel in that tower.
Yeah.
That she still fell in love with him afterwards.
Yeah. Because I love it that like you have this where Rapunzel there again, she's back to where she was in the tower. And she's, you know, believing all the lies and the deception that Gothel gave her because that's the only information she has. Stockholm syndrome, anybody? Maybe.
And who is surprised that she knew how to track the stars?
Yeah.
I wasn't, because we knew she painted the stars in her tower and they probably were accurate.
Yeah. It's like, well, when this is the only thing you can do is not be like, all you do is look at a tower and watch the stars. Yeah, she charged stars.
I realize she and Anna could probably have a lot of conversations about being by themselves in expansive rooms.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just thought process.
It makes sense. It totally makes sense. So it's really, it'd be like you see like the worst fears, the worst scenario coming true with this very confused Rapunzel until they realize and be like, oh, okay, here's the antidote. I need to be like with Cassandra said and be like, you know, I need to open up. I need to talk about this. Be like, bottling up isn't helping anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, finally giving her the potion to get her memory back, which is interesting because it's always, you know, that kind of be like, poof, be like, oh, I'm perfectly fine now. It's not be like, takes a couple days to remember this stuff.
It's a magic potion.
It's a magic potion. Oh, yeah. There's a part of me I want to talk about something in season 3, episode 1, but I can't.
Let's not. But
yeah, let it go.
Make like Elsa and let it go. I do want to bring up one thing that hinges on a theory that I have on this show.
Okay.
And so here's the thing. If I am anywhere near this, don't tell me.
Okay.
But assuming that that my suspicion that Cassandra is actually the daughter of Mother Gothel or is related to her in some way.
Okay.
I feel like it was a missed opportunity if that was the case.
Okay.
For Rapunzel bringing up the fact how much Cassandra looks like Mother Gothel.
Hmm.
Because she does look like Mother Gothel.
Yeah.
Which is the main reason I suspect that she's related
okay.
in some way, especially since we know Cassandra was adopted.
Right.
by the captain of the guard.
Right.
So she had to have a family somewhere.
Right. That's true.
But anyway.
Right.
I'm just throwing that out there because it's like, if that is truly what's going to happen,
yeah,
they miss an opportunity to hint at it here.
Mm.
But anyway.
Yeah. So overall, this episode is very well done. It seems to mend bridges between these two characters. Because I love the fact that, like, season two, you have this, like, overarching growing tension between Cassandra and Rapunzel.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that Cassandra is, like, she's her job is to make sure that Rapunzel gets where she's going and make sure she's safe. And Rapunzel's always kind of be like not listening to her. Be like listening to her reason, listening to her logic, and kind of going over everybody else to, and I can see where that would cause friction.
Yeah,
it does cause friction in those kind of situations. And it seems there again, I've seen all the series. It seems for the moment that everything's kind of calmed down a little bit. Maybe.
I do want to bring up one other small logistical error.
Yeah.
Based on the fact that Rapunzel was tracking the stars.
Mm-hmm.
How did she know they were going in the wrong direction?
Hmm.
Because there's a couple bits of missing information Rapunzel should have.
Okay.
A, this does not look to be the same time of year that Tangled took place in. It may not be the same time of year. And that actually affects where the stars in the sky are.
Because
if you don't believe me, in the winter, you know, coming up out of the east, is when you can start seeing Orion.
Right.
And he sets, you know, during as spring is ending.
Right.
So, you know, if you've never looked at that is actually a thing that happens. The stars are in different places in the sky as the year goes on.
Agreed.
She doesn't know that this is not what she said 2 seconds ago when she got that. She doesn't know that amount of time has passed.
Yeah.
So unless it somehow happens to be exactly the same time of year when
her memory
was wiped. How does she know they're going in the wrong direction? Plus, how far distance are we actually from where the tower was?
Mm.
Like, because that's the thing that's the one of the bigger issues I have.
Yeah, because
with this season as a whole, I have no idea how far away from Corona they actually are, because all they're doing is following these rocks wherever they happen to point. And yes, we did go over the ocean for a bit, but considering, like, in the episodes immediately after that, we meet back up with Stallion, and it's kind of assumed that where Stallion didn't move continents during that time, that those rocks are going in wild directions.
Yeah.
So they could be like 100 miles out from Corona. Or they could just be like a day's walk from Corona.
Well,
right now, and we don't know, especially since they're able to go so stinking far.
Yeah,
in like a couple days, that they're able to almost backtrack, like almost all the way back to get to Stallion. Because otherwise, how would Rapunzel have been able to get to Stallion in 3 days' time?
Yeah,
it wasn't 3 days' time. It was. Find Stallion, find the Eye of Pencosta, and then get back in three days' time.
Yes.
I'm saying we still have I know they're being a little flexible with distance here.
Oh, because yeah.
You're not supposed, it's not really supposed to matter that much.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, with Rapunzel and the Great Tree, we just crossed over into, quote unquote, what they kept calling the Dark Kingdom.
Yeah.
And yet, 2 episodes in, we've already brought back the stupid King Trevor, or in the next episode, we already brought back King Trevor, who I don't think could have made it across that great tree, or I don't think he would have gotten over there with.
Yeah, I would agree.
There has to be some other way into the Dark Kingdom besides the great tree.
I would agree with you. There's also logistically, because
of course Adira sent her to the great tree because she wanted to find the incantation, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, possibly. So I remember there's a part in season two, I believe they're on the island, and I think it's like they're 6 weeks out from Corona or something like that.
They said they'd been on the road for 6 weeks.
Yeah, they've been on the road for 6 weeks.
But the thing is, if you're on the road for 6 weeks going in a straight line versus being on the road for 6 weeks and doing a zigzag pattern back and forth, you're not going to make it as far.
True.
And it's very obvious that the way the path of those rocks are, they're not going straight towards wherever they're going.
Right.
They are kind of meandering around, and they're meandering around in such a way that we're still within, like, the, for lack of a better term, the bright lands of, or the Corona hinterlands for the most part, even when we're supposedly in the Dark Kingdom, which when we saw the Dark Kingdom in the first episode of season two, looked to be a wasteland.
Yeah.
We're nowhere near a wasteland right now.
Yeah.
Hey, we've been through a wasteland earlier, but we're moving back and forth so much that I have no idea where on the map in relation to Corona we are at all. We could be, you know, about to come back to the coast. We could be about to cross the Corona wall again, for all I know.
Yeah.
Especially as fast as they were able to find Hook Hand and then travel there to get to where his concert was. And to some degree, why is the only place that Eugene has talked about having been to before been Varderos? Well, and Pencosta, but
right.
Why are these the only two places they've mentioned? Or not? Yeah. Why are these the only two places they've mentioned he's been to? Because he's found everywhere, especially with the spoiler that I accidentally saw when I was doing research for an earlier episode.
Right.
Told me about who Eugene is.
Yes.
He should have seen some. He should be recognizing where they're going. But anyway.
Yes.
I think that's my last of my rant.
Yeah, overall, be like, I completely agree with you.
It's not that this is a bad show. It's just these are things, if you're going to have a road trip show like this, because I had the same problems with Thundercats.
Yeah.
2011. If you're going to have a road trip show for this, I need to have a feeling we're actually making it somewhere, and that we can't just double back and be back home in a day.
True.
And honestly, it feels like they could turn around right now and be back in Corona within a day's travel. Maybe three at the most. But anyway,
we'll get there when we get there.
Are you telling me they actually explain this at the end of the season?
I'm not saying a word.
Have they gone in a giant circle? Because I would not be surprised at this point.
I'm just saying, because when we get to season three, it gets a little funky.
I know season three is called Rapunzel's Return. And from the picture I see on IMDb, I'm assuming that's Return to Corona.
Possibly.
We'll get there
when we get there.
In the meantime, this has been Drew.
This is Jacob.
And we will catch you in the next frame.
Oh, bother.
You can follow Jacob on his Facebook at Jacob B. Heron. His Facebook page, Jacob's Daily Art Corner, where he tries to draw each and every day. His Instagram at Jacob B. Heron. His Twitter at Jacob Heron. And his Letterboxd at Jacob Heron. You can find Drew on Facebook at Drew Dodgen. His Facebook page, Drew's Photo Bin, to see his photography. His Letterboxd page at GGeorge759. His Twitter at GGeorge759. And Instagram at Drew Dodgen. You can like us on Facebook at The Cellcast Podcast. On Twitch at The Cellcast Gaming. On YouTube at Cellcast. On Twitter at cast_cell. The Cellcast can be found at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or anywhere else fine podcasts are downloaded from. Please rate and review us where you found us, and also on Podchaser. Email us at thecellcastpodcast@gmail.com. The Cellcast is a proud member of both the Pop Americana and Culture Box media networks. For more information, please see the link in the description. Our theme song is Drop and Roll by Silent Partner. And remember, that's Cell with a single L.